This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Do you believe that the Bible is truth? Yes. Do you believe what's in it is absolutely true? Amen. Then there's a piece in the Bible that says, where there's two or three gathered in my name, I am there. And if we truly believe the Bible, I see more than two or three people here. And I believe God is here. And I believe His presence is here with us. So when we sing today, may that just ponder in your mind a bit, that we're not singing songs just to sing, but that we're actually singing songs for the glory of God who is in our midst. He's the only God who comes down to His creation. And He's here with us.
We're going to do a new song today. So I'm just quickly going to run through it with you guys. We'll do it later in the set, but then you know it. So the verse goes like this. Where would I run? To the throne of mercy. Where would I kneel but at this cross of grace? How great the love, how strong the hand that holds us. That we can sing that we can really say that, Lord, that here and now we lift you high because you are here, just as Marco said, Father. But also that we can say that we are yours. We are forever yours, Father, everyone in this place. God, that we're all part of what you've created, Father. And that there's a certain sonship and a certain daughtership that we have the right to, Father. And that it is so beautiful. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that today you really manifest yourself in this place, Lord, that we become present to what you're doing in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dust, you come alive in us.
you speak, you silence every fear, you feel your spirit here around us. And let there be light, let there be light, until it fills up every space. Come and have your way. Let there be just one word and I am changed. Come and have your way. When you speak, breathe upon the dust, you come alive in us. Speak, you silence every fear, we feel your spirit here around us. So let there be light, let there be light, until it fills up every space. Come and have your way. Let there be light, let there be light. One word and I am changed. Come and have your way. I wish you. And now you're everything we seek. As deep cries out to deep, we will see God and hear your glory on display. Jesus, take your place. Till it fills up every space. Come and have your way. Let there be light. Let there be light. Just one word and I am changed. Come and have your way. Let's sing the bridge again. And now
you're everything we seek. As deep cries out to deep, we will see God and hear your glory on display. Jesus, take your place. We will see God. send him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul.
We exalt thee.
the throne of mercy, where would I kneel but at the cross of grace? How did the love, how strong the hand that holds us, beautiful, so beautiful. So here I bow to lift you high, Jesus, be glorified in all things. For all my life I am yours forever. There is a key for the scars of healing. There is a Son who came in grace and truth. How great the love that carries us to kindness. Wonderful, so wonderful. So here
forever yours, Father. That promise of yours, which is in the Bible, Father, that if we accept Jesus Christ, we're going to be forever with you. Thank you for that promise, Father. That hope what we've got, that we're going to be with you in heaven forever and ever. Thank you, Father. And thank you that we can come together this afternoon as a family, that we want to listen to what is on your heart what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. This is what I'm praying at each and every week, Father. The things which kept us earlier busy, earlier today or this week, and which are trying to distract our mind, I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you've given us authority, Father, and we use that authority in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can focus on you and that we can hear what is on your heart. What is it what you want to share with us today, Father? Because we don't want to miss anything. You're too awesome, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you were here 2 weeks ago, and I'm not quite sure if the people who were here 2 weeks ago, if maybe you can just raise the hand to remember that we had communion and that we, okay, there are a few people, all right, okay. Because I felt that God is saying that I've got to give an opportunity now for testimonies. If you've got something, what the Lord has been speaking to you during worship, we're going to have time with it at the end of the sermon. But now, if there's something, what happened after you were that sermon over here and you held out your hands and you received the bread and the wine and you held out your hand and you received the key that you could bring the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles, as what Jesus also gave the key, the spiritual key to Peter, that he could do that. And that you also could hold out your hand for the rod of Moses, which was an ordinary thing, which became a rod of God, is what we saw in that during that sermon. And if you've got a testimony that you say, yes, something happened, something ordinary suddenly became a thing of God, a miracle happened. If it was through an ordinary thing that you could speak to somebody, that you could speak life into somebody's life, that you maybe could pray for him, that you could share the gospel. If it was your pen which started the conversation, if it was your car which started the conversation, if you haven't got a car, if it was the train or the bus which started the conversation, whatever the case may be, but that something happened because you held out your hand and there was an opportunity. Is there anyone who has got a testimony based on 2 weeks ago when you held out your hands?
I completely forgot about 2 weeks ago, so thanks for reminding us. But I just have a short testimony of what happened on Friday. We had our annual work dinner, and as usual, lots of drinking. So we're fortunately a small group of people, and everyone could bring their spouses or partners. And it started with bar hopping three bars and then ended off with dinner. It wasn't so crazy, but it was a bit awkward for me. I'm an introvert, so I was like, I can only speak about drinking and wine for 2 seconds and then I'm over it. And that was like most of the conversations and like very, so I was like, at one point, to be honest, I was like, I'm gonna start crying now because everyone's talking and those people are talking to each other and I'm like, I just want to get out of here. And then I was like, oh, Lord, just help me through this evening. And it ended up being at the restaurant. And then there were three long tables that they set for us. It was quite a small restaurant. And we ended up sitting in the middle. And fortunately, Yolandi works with me. So she and Marco were there. Like, I'm so thankful. And we ended up sitting in the middle table. We went in first. So all the cool people sat at the other tables and were really loud. So then I was like, oh, great. So then my one colleague that I really don't know really well, they're in another office. So I see him once a month and we don't really communicate that often. He sat opposite me and his wife. And we started chatting and I was like, wow, we're getting like a normal conversation and we could talk about like deeper things, which is nice for me as an introvert. I can talk a lot when it's one-on-one. And he started asking me, why, like, how did I get the job? And I was like, okay, usually I bring in the church thing because that's one of the main reasons I'm here. So I was like, no, I'm just not going to say anything about the church. I'll just say, you know, I got the job through my old employer. That's the connection. And I got the job here. So I said that. And after that, he asked me, so why do you live in Zeist? So I was like, oh, now I have to tell the church thing because that's why I moved to Zeist in the first place. So I could share that with him. And then he was like, wow, like what type of church? Is it Catholic or what is it? He doesn't know anything about religion. He didn't grow up with religion. So I shared a bit. So he's like, yeah, and you know, when he looks at the stars and like how amazing the light travels and like the universe and how it's created, like, well, he didn't say created, but like it's amazing and there must be something more. And I was like, this is the most open conversation that I've had with any colleague in 4 years. And he was like, yeah, I'm so open, like to anything, tell me more. And I was like, so I said to him, you know, if you want, like, so he said he walked, like, previously he walked in the street and it's cloudy, then he's like, if there's something, please send a thunderbolt. And that never happened, of course. But so I said to him, you know, if you want to know Jesus is real, like, just ask him, Jesus, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And I could share a little bit, and I trusted the little seeds. I was not very elegant in my speech, I'm sure, but God uses the weak things. And I'm sure, like, yeah, I was just praying for him that he's really open. He told me, he's like, yeah, I really don't know the answers, but I'm really open to anything. So praise the Lord. Like, yeah, I'm really thankful. A work function, God uses used a work function that I really didn't want to go to. And yeah, I'm trusting for salvation.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Eunice. If the Lord has been speaking to you during the worship, then there will be opportunity at the end that you can give a testimony of what God has been sharing with you, what most probably is then a message for us as a congregation. Today the Lord is going to ask us a question. And the question what God is asking us is, where are you? And we're not going to give an answer directly, that we're going to do at the end of the sermon. But we get those questions on a regular basis, where are you? My wife is sometimes asking me that question as well, where are you? Typically on a Saturday or a Sunday, if I'm busy with a sermon, then my mind is a little bit over here or over there. And then she just has got to find out, where are you? Where's your mind now? Where are you busy with? She's just drawing me close again and says, okay, what is actually happening? Where are you talking about and what is on your mind? And it happens more than once. Have I got other people agreeing? Yes? Yes, okay, thank you. So I'm not the only one. And God is asking us the question, where are you? Are you with me? Are you really know me? And God is asking a reply from us, from each and every one of each and every one of us. But that, like I said, we'll do at the end of the sermon. Because God asked Adam the same question in Genesis. After they ate of the fruit, then God started speaking and asked that question. Let me read from verses 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in a garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in a garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called to Adam, and he said to Adam, where are you? It's actually a very simple question, where are you? God, who knows everything, is asking Adam, where are you? He's behind the bush, because he found out he was naked. So God knew where Adam was. God knew also what Adam had done, and Eve, because they were, it's always two when they do something. So it's Adam and Eve. And God also knew what the spiritual condition was, because something has happened in the spirit over there. There was a change in the spirit, what Adam and Eve has been doing over there. So the question would maybe have been a little bit better if he would have asked, where are you spiritually? Because something happened. Something has changed. Adam, where are you spiritually? What happened in the spirit? And I like that response of Adam. It's such an awesome response. He's not replying to the question. He's like a good politician going around the bush and he's not answering the question. Then Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He's not repenting. He knew that he's done something wrong, but he's not repenting. He's keeping quiet about it. I found out I was naked, and that's why I'm hiding myself. And that is as a result of that they've been sinning. And he's avoiding actually to give God that answer and say, Lord, sorry, but Adam and the two of us, we made a mistake. We made a terrible mistake. He's not answering the question. And if we take a look at that word, I heard your voice in the garden, is exactly the same word, the Hebrew word, is what we read just now. Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. It's the same Hebrew word, kole. And kole is translated in call aloud. And I don't think that God was walking in the Garden of Eden and shouting and screaming. I don't think that God was like that. But that it was a voice, a sound surrounding the presence of God, a pleasant sound. So why they've used two different words? So he heard the voice, or he heard the sound of God, and then Adam is also replying, I heard your voice, I heard the sound that you were in the garden. And they must have walked many times in the garden in the cool of the day, and that they spoke to each other. I'm actually jealous on Adam that he could do that. And then a conversation starts between God and Adam and Eve. And he, which is God, said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And then that awesome answer again from Adam. Then the man said, the woman, that woman who you gave to be with me, that woman, yeah, that one, she gave me of the tree and I ate. He's still not answering the question. And then the Lord God turned to the woman, to Eve, and he asked the woman, what is it what you have done? The woman is also not replying to the question. She's also giving another type of answer. The serpent deceived me and I ate. We actually can read between the lines. As Adam is accusing me, I'm accusing now the serpent who you've created and pointing finger at God. That's the one who deceived me, actually. Because between the lines, Adam and Eve, both of them in their answers, were actually saying that God was part of it, that they were sinning. That God was part of the reason why they were sinning. They were actually accusing God of being part of it. Because God created that woman for him, and God created that serpent. And that's why they've been sinning. But both of them, they were not answering that question. So God asked that question to Adam and said, where are you? Where are you spiritually? And God is asking us the same question. Where are we spiritually? But again, we're going to answer a little bit later. And we get those questions which are asked to us. Where are you? Where are you spiritually? And on a Thursday evening, it's many times that people are asking us, but prove that there's a God. Prove to us that there's a heaven. How are you sure you're going to heaven? At a certain time, my mother-in-law asked me that question. I don't know if she wanted to test me or if she wanted to start a conversation, or I'm not quite sure where it actually came from. If I remember well, I think we were two or three who went to the, let's call it the sisterhood, and then we spoke a little bit about evangelism, and then the method what we used at that time was the Evangelism Expansion 3. And that verse, which I'm quoting now, just now, is in your reply, in your whole framework, what you've got to, in your discussion with the unbeliever, what you can use. So when my mother-in-law asked me that question, she pressed on the right button because I knew what type of answer to give to her. And then I quoted out of the Bible, 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you've got eternal life. So I said to my mother-in-law, that's why I'm sure that I've got eternal life, because it's written in the Bible. These things have been written. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And if it's the first time that you're seeing this verse, please remember it, because it's one that you can use. If people are asking you, you can say, these things have been written. But what are these things where John is referring to? Then we go a little bit back. Then we go to 9 to 12. If we receive the witness of man, now all of us know that if we go into a court case, then what the witness are saying over there is going to be an impartation, or you can actually say that it's an input for the judge to make his final decision. A witness is very important in a court case. If you've got a court case and there's no witness, then there's no court case. So with us in the normal world, witnesses are very important. The witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater than the witness of man. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his sons, of his son. He gave Jesus Christ. And that is the best testimony what we can ever receive, the best witness what we can ever receive. And then again, John is saying about the belief, the relationship with God. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. Sure, yes. So which means if we are meeting people who say, but God doesn't exist, they are a liar. They are lying. This is what John is writing over here. Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given to his son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. We've been singing it just now as well, eternal life. He who has the son has life. And he who does not have the son of God does not have life. It's also harsh. It's the one or the other. There's no in between. There's not in heaven for 25 years or whatever. What people sometimes get when they go to jail, go for a certain period, they are taken out and they lock them up and then they release them again. Over here it is, or you've got it or you haven't got it. There's nothing in between. And this John, he wrote 5 books. He wrote the Gospel, and then he wrote the 3 letters, of which I've quoted now 1 verse, and then he also wrote the book of Revelation. And he most probably wrote these letters in Ephesus, and which were sent to a few different churches, because we do not really see where he is addressing it to. But John is writing out of his experience what he had with Jesus, because he's the one who was very close to Jesus, who put his head on the breast of Jesus. He was the one who could talk out of experience over there. And then the letters what John is writing, he's basically addressing 3 things. The rise in the influence of false teachings, then also the spiritual salvation through Jesus Christ, and how salvation works in believers' life. And I just read a little bit up of what type of false teachings they had at that time. And there were quite a few. I'm just quoting 1 or 2, just to let you see how weird the people were thinking already at that time. What we hear nowadays is nothing in comparison what they were thinking at that time. They were saying that the spiritual realm is entirely good and the world is entirely evil. So if you want to go from the evil, you want to go to the good, then you basically have got to get out of the world. You've got to escape your body. There's nothing of Jesus in it whatsoever. That was being preached in churches over there. They were even preaching things that Jesus' body and spirit came together when Jesus started his ministry. And when Jesus went to heaven, his spirit went to heaven and his body remained over here. Weird things what they were preaching at that time. But if we think about it, we also get weird things what they're preaching over here. Then I'm going to run quickly through 9 ways so that we can know sure that we've got an authentic saving relationship with Christ Jesus. We have assurance of eternal life if we believe in the name of the Son of God, life-surrendering faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. There is no other way we can go to heaven. Nothing. But if we do that, if we believe in God, and if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we are sure that we're going to have eternal life. If we submit Jesus as our Lord to live by his principles and obey his commandments so that we're really taking Jesus as our leader. We love the Father and the Son rather than the world. And that's sometimes a little bit difficult because we are in the world continuously. We see those things which are happening around us. And it's so easy that those things are leading us. But we've got to go back and say, okay, what is God saying? What does the Father want us to do? What is the Son wants us to do? And if we don't know, let's pray. Go on your knees and pray, as what we do on a Tuesday as well. We go to the Lord and ask the Lord, what is it what he wants us to do? That thing of Nijmegen didn't come by email or a WhatsApp call. It's a matter of speaking to God and listening and waiting for God, and God is speaking to you. We consistently and persistently do what is right by God's standard. We don't start with our own standards. We're not saying, okay, I think that is not correct or that is a little bit too harsh. What's written is written. And that has got to be done that way. We show true love for each other. Not to a limited a person, or not only to certain people, each other. There's no limitation over there. We are conscious of the Holy Spirit living within us. And that's something what I also, on my little bit of a later age, I became aware of it. That the Holy Spirit can live in you, but the Holy Spirit can also live through you, and that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can work through you. We humbly follow Jesus' example. And what did Jesus do? He told the people, kingdom of God, and he did miracles. He even raised people from the death. We can do that. Amen. Correct, we can do that. So if you've got that rod in your hand, and if God could do miracles with Moses, then God can do miracles with you as well. It's not limited. God can use us, but we've got to be prepared to be used by God for his kingdom. We believe, accept, and remain in the right relationship to the word of life, Jesus Christ, and base our life on his original message as found in the New Testament. If we want to do that, we've got to open up the Bible. We cannot listen to video clips. We cannot read books about the Bible, but read the Bible yourself and ask God to reveal it to you. What is it exactly what he wants? What is in that message? And we have got a sincere and a deep desire and a steadfast hope in Christ's return. Sometimes I'm even thinking and speaking to myself, then I say, but are you really hoping that Jesus is going to come back? Then I've got to think about it and say, yes, I am. And if you go back to the last parts of Revelations as well, Maranatha, Jesus, come back, we're waiting for you. And Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back as a judge. Right, now I'm going to try and put those two together now. The question which was asked by God, where are you spiritually? And that surety, the assurance, what we can find in the Bible, what God is giving us. Where are we spiritually? Do we have that surety? As what John is referring to in his word over there. Before we're going to give the answer, I'm going to highlight a few things which I saw in a video clip. Yes, I'm also watching video clips now and then. But it was striking for me because it's one of those things where you're busy with the sermon and the Lord drops those things and you just add them up, and then I'm standing always in amazement how God is basically giving you the sermon, what you've got to do. It's a video clip and I'm going to load it onto Shofar Utrecht, the Facebook after the sermon as well. We should be home by roughly 8 o'clock, so I'll load it, so then you can see it. But for me, there was such a lot of critical information in it that showing the video was not going to justify it. So I thought, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write it down and I'm going to show it over here. So you will hear it on the video clip, or otherwise you also can, of course, at the if you listen to the sermon or download the PDF file, then you also can see it. It's a conversation between John Bevere. Some people call him John Sevier, but okay, it doesn't matter. He's a guy who's serious about God's kingdom, and he doesn't want to miss. And he's speaking to a guy by the name of Scott Lind of the Logos Bible, and of course they're talking about the importance of the Bible. They did a research with 40,000 people in America between the age of 8 and 80. So that's quite a wide spectrum. And they asked the question, how are you engaging with Scripture? And they just wanted to find out from the people, how are you connecting up? How are you reading Scripture? What is actually happening? And as they were doing the research, they actually came with information what they were not looking for, but they were surprised of that information which came out of it. They found that if a person is reading the Bible or opening the Bible once a week, like over here on a church, that I say, okay, we're going to read 1 John 5 verses 13, please open your Bible. If a person is reading the Bible once a week, nothing is happening. There's no effect in a person's life or in his key areas. Neglectable effect. Nothing is happening. If we take it twice a week, not much of a change. More or less exactly the same. No change. If he's going to read it 3 times a week, or he's 3 times a week in Scripture, or you engaged 3 times a week, then you get a little bit of a oop. Those who have been in hospital and you've seen those screens with your heartbeat and so on, you know a little bit what I'm talking about. But what's happening if you're reading 4 times? It goes out of the map. Totally out. It's totally out of the map. There's such an increase from 3 to 4, which we actually cannot understand. But that's what that research, that is the information which came out of it. Now those who are a little bit scientific, they will say, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's more or less the line which it should have. It can have a little bit of a curve maybe or something like that. But if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, that's something totally different. But that is what the study brought forward. If we're spending 4 times a week in the Bible, things are happening in our lives. Things are radically happening, and our whole way of thinking is changing. Take a look at what is changing. Feeling lonely drops 30%. So if anyone comes to you and says he's lonely, ask the question, are you reading the Bible? If he's not reading the Bible, make sure the person is reading the Bible at least 4 times a week, because then you've got a drop of 30% in feeling lonely. Anger issues, blood pressure, those type of things. It drops 32% if you're spending time in God's Word. Bitterness in relationship. They only refer to marriage and kids, but I think it is also with your colleagues and those type of things. It drops 40%. When you spend time with God, then your bitterness in relationships is dropping. Alcoholism is dropping 57%. Wow. So no BM, but a Bible. Much better. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. If you ever got a conversation with somebody and says, but I'm feeling... there's not much happening. Ask that person, are you reading the Bible? Are you in the Bible? Are you involved in the Bible? Viewing pornography drops 61%. because you're reading God's word and you're not watching stuff which the world is putting on your plate. But there's something else happening. If you're going to share your faith, it jumps 200%. So instead of that, let's say your feeling spiritual stagnant drops to 60%, if you're going to share your faith, it increases 200%. There's such a change in you when you're going to share the gospel. Do you agree? Yes. Because I can tell you, if you're sharing the gospel, there's something happening which you cannot explain. Jesus at the well, he went to the well to rest down because he was tired. He was hungry. The disciples went to get food. And then Jesus started speaking to that lady. And when they came back, the disciples, they asked, but who has given food to him? And if you take a translation and you have a look at that word food over there, it actually means meat. That's what they asked Jesus. Who has given him meat? And Jesus said, food is to do the will of my Father. This is where I'm getting my food from. This is what's giving my energy. And out of experience, I can say that, yes. If you want to get me a little bit alive, that's when I'm speaking about the gospel. Then I'm enjoying it. But even more, if you're discipling somebody else, if you are discipling a person, it increases with 230%. So if you're not quite sure what to do and you want to get your life a little bit more spiritually filled, please read the Bible, share the gospel, and disciple other people. And the Bible matters. Yes, there are enough books over the Bible. There are enough videos over the Bible. And we can spend time, and I don't mind if we're doing that, spend time with it. But if we're not opening up the source where it is coming from, then we're missing it. And I can I can testify about it each and every time when I'm preparing a sermon. And if you spend time with it and God is revealing things, then I say, but it's not written over there, or it's not there, or how does it actually work, or whatever. And then as you're busy with it, God is revealing it to you. And it's awesome. And that's why, yeah, I'm enjoying it also, to bring that, what God is showing to me, to bring it to you as well. Because we should communicate with God. We should communicate with the Father who gave instruction that the Bible should be written. So where are we now? Where are we spiritually? Where are we in our relationship with God? And where are we as believer? Is there maybe something still between us and God, what is preventing us of having that relationship? Renee spoke about it last week, about the heart-to-heart connection. And then he also said, if there's something, bring it to God, that CO2 can be changed around into O2, into oxygen, into life, and that we can start bearing fruit. And then I asked God, I said, but God, why do you want that the congregation has got to reply to your question? And then God said, commitment. I want to see commitment of the people in your church. And I don't know if it is the reason that we're going next week, that we're going to Nijmegen, that God wants us, that we should just confirm again into the spiritual realm who we are, and that we've got a relationship with God. And out of that, we're going to Nijmegen. I don't know. Me and Renee, we did the vows again towards each other. This time, not towards each other, but this time we did it to God half a year before we actually came over here. And that also made us stronger, that the devil cannot put anything or get anything in between. If this is the idea from God, I'm not quite sure. But when I asked, he said, I'm going to ask a question. That's the question that I'm asking you now. Where are you spiritually? As he was asking Adam, where are you? Where are you spiritually? And then we've got three answers. And as you're sitting, I'm going to ask the first one, and that is new. If you've never had, or if you've never made that decision, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, You've never done those things what we read just now, which is giving you the assurance. You never in public declared that God is the Creator, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that you want to be accepting the Holy Spirit as your helper. That I'm asking you now, if you're here, please raise your hand, that you can say, yes, I'm that person. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But reading over here and answering on that question, where are you spiritually? I've got to say I'm new. If there's anyone like you, please raise your hand, that you can say, yes, that's me. I've got to make that decision today. I'm asking you now to stand. Renee, can you come forward? And the next question is, oh no, your next reply is going to be one of the two. Or you're going to renew your relationship with God today. You already made such a connection with Him. You already have got a relationship with Him. But as what you're hearing it this afternoon, and as God is asking you the question, where are you spiritually? You feel, but wait a moment. I was a little bit off track. I've got to recommit again. I've got to renew that relationship with God again. And the same with the confirmation. Because it could be that you say, I know Jesus. I know who He is. And I know the Father. I know the Holy Spirit. I've got a relationship with God. I'm solid about it. I want to confirm it again. So what I'm going to ask now is what we're going to sing songs 102. That you're going to come forward. Me and Renee are going to be here. We're going to pray in the ministry part that will come a little bit later. But we're going to ask you to come forward. You're not replying to us, but you're replying to God. And me and Renee are going to stand to you, next to you as a witness. That we can hear about your relationship with God. It's not that me and Renee are going to talk about it afterwards and say, oh, that guy said this and that guy said that, and one said renew and the other one confirmation. That's not. It's between you and God. And we're just going to anoint you. That's all. We're not. If there's anything what the Holy Spirit is putting on our hearts, we will share it with you. So it's a matter of you come forward, you say, Lord, I want to renew. Lord, I want to confirm I've got a relationship with you. Because what you're saying over here is not going to be unnoted in the spiritual realm. And this is just for strengthening us as a congregation of the things what God wants us to do. In the beginning, I couldn't figure out what God actually wanted us to do. But as I was busy, it became clear. It's like a father who's going to his children. And one of his children is coming to him and is looking up to him and he says, Father. And that's what God is asking for that we're doing this afternoon. That we just confirm that, or we just renew it again if you've been a little bit off. But it doesn't matter. But that we just do it this afternoon and that we use it for that. So as we're going to sing, the ladies can go to Renee. She's got 0.5 liter of oil over there. And I've got some oil and I'm going to just anoint you. And I'm asking you to please just come forward and say, Lord, I want to renew, or Lord, I confirm. And that we can just anoint you. What the spiritual effect is, I don't know. But God asked me that I should bring that message. Then afterwards, we will have an opportunity that if there are still people who've got testimonies from what, if the Lord spoke to you with worship, then you can tell it to us. Or if there's any other ministry what you need, and then the small group leaders will also come and help us. So the ladies on that side, and I will take care of the men on this side.
king like the least of these. Behold Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.